This podcast is sponsored by Ramjet, Small Dog Electronics, and hosted on servers at Innotech.com.
What's that noise? You hear that? It's the pitch is going up. What is that? What is it? What is it? I'm scared, Mommy.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Yeah, Chad Perry is here too. All right, baby.
Podcast number 84.
You know, I bet it was much funner to be a radio disc jockey back in like the 50s, 60s.
Spinning vinyl?
Before it became so corporate and, you know, playing the same old crap on Top 40 and blah, blah, blah all the time.
Oh, yeah.
When you could play what you wanted, when you wanted, and just jam out and those actual personalities and the people that were on the radio were, like, really cool.
No reel-to-reel music to flip the switch and just take a snooze.
The people in L.A. are not hearing exactly the same program and programming as the people in New York.
Yep.
When you had different music in different parts of the country and it was more organic, that just had to have been cool.
Oh, yeah.
Before both of our time, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, we were, you know,
we weren't even alive.
No, but I'm just thinking about when we listened to radio.
It was the very end.
The biggest transition was going from tapes and vinyl to CDs. I remember when CDs first came out and they were talking about them on the radio.
Yep. But, you know, it's not even that. It's the personalities at the radio stations. Nowadays, they're so generic, you can take one from one station and put him on another station and you would never know the difference.
Right.
But back then, it was real personalities. I mean, you know, this was the voice of this station. You knew that, you know. Unfortunately, that's gone. But fortunately for us, I think that is the spirit of podcasting.
Yep.
I mean, there are no stations, and you don't know what you're going to get. If you download and listen to a podcast, you pretty much know who it's going to be, and probably the topics, or at least the general idea of what the podcast is going to be about.
Right.
And this podcast is number 84, and we talk about Macs, Apple, and iPods if you're a first-time listener. Howdy.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Occasionally we get off topic, and that's when we get in trouble, and that might be today. So
might be, because it's been a slow news week, and it was a three-day holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And honestly, I didn't really prepare a whole lot for this show, because there's just not a whole lot going on in the Mac universe, but that's cool. And we also do not have an interview this week, which is also cool.
Yeah.
I will say that I don't know if it's going to be an interview, but we are going to have a contest coming up probably pretty soon with Microsoft again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be for software.
Really?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to it. It's a new product from Microsoft, and originally they contacted me about reviewing the software or the hardware, and I said, well, you know, we also have this podcast that we do, and they obviously knew about that because they've been on the show, but this is a totally different division. It's a totally different PR person I'm talking with.
Mm-hmm.
They knew about the podcast. I mentioned, you know, maybe it'd be cool to give something away on the podcast, and they're really up for it, and so looks like we're going to be good to go there.
Cool.
But last week we did have a contest, and the conclusion of said contest is this week. What were we giving away, Chad?
We were giving away volumes 9 and 10 of Slick Transitions and Effects from G3.com.
It's fantastic software. It actually works within iMovie, including the latest and greatest iMovie 6.
Mm-hmm.
I use Slick Transition and Effects all the time. I've been using it since they first came out way, way back in the day when it wasn't even volumes 1 and 2. It was just
Slick Transitions,
And Effects. And it's not just effects, and it's not just transitions. They also have a lot of stuff to do with, like, typography.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make really cool text.
Yep.
I love their software. I think it's fantastic. Guy Searle posted a suggestion to G3 a couple weeks ago on the website, on the blog site. It's still up there. You can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting maybe a new project that G3.com should work on. And Bruce, the owner of G3, jumped on and replied to Guy. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that. And it's not that Guy sent that out to promote the website or anything like that or the podcast, but it was I thought it was a pretty good idea. And it's nice to know that developers listen and respond.
And that they're out there looking at other websites to get ideas. And
absolutely.
Looking at what the users are saying.
Yeah. You know, nothing is created in a vacuum, I don't think.
No.
Least of all, Apple computers. A lot of people think that, you know, when Apple releases a new computer, where did the idea come from? A lot of it comes from what you, the users, want out of your computers. And I think Apple's probably one of the best companies out there, at least in the computer market, that really makes a product that their users not only want, but need. And I'm really looking forward to getting my first Intel Mac. I still haven't I haven't purchased one yet.
Right.
I know you haven't either.
No.
But quite honestly, we don't have a need for an Intel Mac at this point.
No.
There's nothing that you can do on an Intel Mac that you can't do on a PowerPC Mac.
Right.
That's not true the other way around. Well, it is, but it's up to a point.
Yeah, but it's a heck of a lot more complex. I
mean, that's
I was doing some stuff at work. I happened to just be stopping by one of the work offices that we have. And one of our bosses was trying to get some music to play as background for one of the PowerPoint slides she was working on. And
that's on a Windows machine?
Yeah. Was that a bear?
Just nasty, huh?
Oh, it is.
It's so kludgy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a word, kludgy?
Kludgy.
No, I like kludgy.
Kludgy?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I like kludge and sludge.
Yeah, that's right. It's kludgy.
Yeah.
And that's... I cannot stand working on a Windows machine. You know, it's just, it's not intuitive. It feels like, why would anybody want to be working on something like that? Why would you make a conscious decision to put a computer in your home and this is what you're willing to put up with? I'm not willing to put up with that. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Microsoft is evil, blah, blah, blah. I don't subscribe to that thought. I mean, we've had them on the show and I was just talking about them. But Windows operating system is horrible. It's just horrible. And a lot of Mac users right now are rooting that the next version of Windows, Vista, is a big flop and that it's not very good. And I don't understand that either. I hope, personally, I hope Vista is a big success. And I think, and I hope, I should say, that some of the new technologies that they bring out in Windows, Vista, are fantastic.
Right.
Why? Because the more Microsoft, well, using the term innovate in Windows is almost an, you know.
The more they copy Mac OS X.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to have competition. Right. And for Mac OS X to get better, Mac OS 10 to get better, we have to have a strong Windows platform as well.
Right.
You're going to see a lot of things in the next version of Windows Vista that started on Mac OS 10, obviously. Some that even started before that. And Microsoft is taking what they consider the coolest parts of OS X and kind of building Vista around that. They took a lot of the really cool stuff out early in the development process that they promised users back in 2003, 2004.
Right.
And obviously the project is way, way behind. But I would really like to see it come out and be successful. That's going to force Apple to really kick up the innovation in not necessarily the next version of Mac OS X, because that's obviously already underway, but the version after that. And that's going to cause Microsoft in the future to innovate more, and that's going to cause Apple to, you know. So the competition between Windows and the Macintosh is healthy, and it's good. And the better Windows is, the better the Mac OS is going to be as well.
Right.
So I root for Microsoft. Purely for selfish reasons, because I know it's going to push Apple to do better. And who's going to be rewarded for that? You and I.
Yep.
And everybody listen to this podcast. Unless, you know, they're on a Windows machine, then I simply say, go buy a Mac. Go buy one. You'll be much happier.
Yeah.
You know, last week I mentioned that I had downloaded some AVI files from the Showtime Channel's bullshit show.
Right.
With Penn and Teller.
Yep.
Which I found via the piratebay.org. And I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Because... I'm a criminal.
And
this week, the Swedish police raided and shut down the whole system.
Arr, you blew off the bounty just in time, didn't you?
I just wanted to apologize, as I had no way of knowing that my mentioning the Pirate Bay or the show Bullshit on the podcast would have such far-reaching effects. My bad.
Dude, you know people in Sweden listen to this podcast.
I know for a fact they do. And look what happened. I mentioned it this last week, and now they go and, did you hear what Tim just said? He got what? From where? Oh, I don't think so. And they go shut him down, so I just wanted to apologize.
That's my bad. Did you know where Pirate Bay was at?
Yeah.
You did?
Oh, I knew before it was in Sweden. Yeah, because that was a big deal. Some people have actually started a new political party in Sweden based around the concept of piracy.
Hmm.
And it's gaining traction.
Really?
And I always found that interesting.
Hmm.
I wasn't really a big supporter of piracy. I'm not still to this day.
Right.
I do agree that information wants to be free, blah, 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 you know. But, you know, if I'm a content provider, I want to be rewarded for my hard work.
Right.
Now, we don't charge anything for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that downloaded this and listened to it on their iPod or on their computer right now, they didn't have to pay a dime to download it, other than their internet connection fees.
Yeah.
And how much it costs for them to buy a computer or an iPod. But this is free content for them to listen to anytime they want, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not asking anybody to donate. There's some podcasts that, you know, ask for donations.
And I understand that, but, you know.
I do, too, because let's be honest, the fees to produce a show that's downloaded as much as ours is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ask for money. However, if we did, and even if it was something cheap, like, you know, if you're going to listen to the podcast, you know, for every episode that you download, maybe you could, I don't know, PayPal us $1.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be $4 per user per month.
Yeah.
Or more sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be pretty good money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the chances are, though, most people wouldn't do that.
Right.
But if it was a request, and you couldn't download it without paying, so, similar to if you wanted to download a song from the iTunes Music Store, obviously you have to pay the 99 bones first before you get it. If that was the same way with this podcast, and I found it up on a place like the Pirate Bay, that anybody was downloading it, and thousands of millions of people are downloading it, and I wasn't getting the money for it, I would be upset.
Sure.
I would want them to take it down. So I'm not an advocate of outright piracy. Now, like I said last week, I did pirate a television series because, and that was really more for educational than anything else.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what the big deal was, and I also wanted to test out playing AVI files on my Mac.
Right.
And I'm not going to share those files with anybody else. I'm not going to send them to anybody. My question is it illegal for me to download that stuff? Piracy, is that a two-way street? Am I in the wrong for downloading it, or would I only be in the wrong if I allowed people to download it for me? You see what I mean?
Right.
It's not quite a stolen goods situation where, you know, you go out and steal a car stereo, Chad, and bring it to me and I buy it. Then, obviously, we're both in the wrong.
Right.
But is piracy the same? I don't think it is. If I download something from you, but I don't turn around and share it myself.
But isn't that's no different from, say, you know.
Can you use the analogy of the car stereo? Do you think that's a fair analogy?
No, I think it's more like what you do with, say, television, where, let's say you download, or let's say you had a DVD-RW.
Let's say VCR.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Okay, VCR. And you recorded all of a season's episode of Lost.
Right.
And if you had your friends over to watch it, then it wouldn't be an issue.
But what if I gave you that tape to take it home to watch?
That wouldn't be an issue. But if you charged people money for that tape, that's when you have
an issue. So why is sharing the same program over the internet, why is that illegal? Or why is it presumed illegal? And why is that considered piracy? If I can physically hand you a VHS of Bullshit from Showtime.
Right.
I just like to be able to say Bullshit on the show without anybody getting upset.
Yeah.
And I physically hand you that I'm miming handing you something here, like the audience is going, yeah, see, he's handing it to you. why is that any more legal than if you just simply logged onto my computer from here to my house and downloaded it from my hard drive? One's a physical copy, one's an electronic copy.
Right.
What's the difference? Why is one bad and one not? Is it because more people can download it through
the internet. I think that's it. I think dispersal is the big issue.
But that's not part of... I mean, you...
I'm just saying this is the reasoning that I think is that might be behind it.
Right.
I'm not saying whether I agree with it or not.
So, in which case, if I took the same VHS copy that I recorded, not charge anybody for it, and made 1,000 copies and gave it to everybody I saw, is that piracy? I'm giving them something for free. I'm not charging them for it.
Right.
They're taking it. They don't have Showtime. They don't have a subscription to Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they're watching it. Is that illegal? At which point does it become okay for me to share it with you and for me to share it with 1,000 people?
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line? And I think that's the problem with piracy right now. At least that's my problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm downloading something from somebody else and I'm watching it, how is that any different as if that person would have mailed me a copy of whatever it is, in this case bullshit, on VHS to my house and I watched it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying, and I understand, because there hasn't been a limit set in that area right now.
And I understand both sides of the argument. I understand that the content providers, whether you think the recording industry is evil or not, I don't think anything's quite that simplistic to say, well, they're just evil because they're against this. Well, it's their whole business model. Of course they're going to be against it. So I don't agree that, you know, it's right to sue people for this.
Mm-hmm.
And little old ladies in Spokane, Washington... that doesn't even own a computer,
right?
You know, but it's a slippery slope. I don't know which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things I think a lot of people wrestle with, the ethics of downloading, be it music. Now, software is a different matter entirely.
See, that's where I was going to go with this next, though. What about software content providers, like say AJ over at Market Circle,
because
Bruce G at G3?
Right. Yeah. How would they feel about people downloading their software? Obviously, they're going to be against it.
Right.
And I am too.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? Well, that's a goods in the effect that you can't buy. You can download it legally and pay for it, but if you receive it illegally, that's stealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then you're more akin to...
The car stereo issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm very interested in hearing what any of the listeners out there feel about it. Obviously, we have a comment line, so you can pick up a telephone and leave your thoughts, and we'll play them.
1-801-938-5559.
Just go up to mymac.com, check out show notes for, what is this, 84?
84.
Show 84, and you'll find the phone number right there. Just call it, leave your comments, and we'll play some on the next podcast, if anybody actually leaves any comments.
So please leave a comment. We'd be interested in what you have to say.
That's right. I'm talking to you, Rick Stringer. I know he's listening.
Yeah.
That was just the first name that popped up. You, Rick Stringer. He actually entered the contest.
Did he?
Yeah, he's won. He's won a contest before.
Oh,
he won the mini stack.
Yeah.
And he didn't win this week, though.
No.
He's sitting there listening right now. I wonder if I won. No, you didn't win, Rick. But I did see that he had entered. Actually, it wasn't just a contest entry. He put some other stuff in his email, and
cool.
I don't remember what offhand. But, Rick, we want your opinion. And he's been on the show, too, so I know he's not shy. And he does his own podcast.
He does.
Which is?
Variant Frequencies.
Variant Frequencies Podcast. Check that out. You can find it up on the iTunes Music Store. It's cool. You'll like it. The Mac Observer is reporting that they were told by an Adobe representative that both Go Live and Freehand will be phased out.
Go Live will be replaced with Dreamweaver, while Freehand is being replaced by Illustrator in the CS3 package due out in spring 2007.
Dreamweaver will get a new interface, probably to bring it more in line with the rest of the Adobe programs. So, you know, I had a feeling that this was going to happen when you consolidate, well, Macromedia wasn't quite the size of Adobe, obviously, but they had a lot of overlap in programs.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, Go Live was a direct competitor with Dreamweaver.
Yep.
And I've been a Go Live user even before Adobe owned Go Live.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber Studios, I believe, was the original creator.
Yeah.
I might be getting that wrong. It's been so long, but I'm pretty sure that it was. And what I liked about it is I could place graphics anywhere in the layout, wherever I wanted, and it would create the HTML around it, which is just exactly what I was looking for, because at the time, and pretty much still to this day, I'm an HTML idiot.
Right.
So, I loved Go Live when the first version came out. I did the review at mymac.com way back in the day. I'm talking 98, 99. I mean, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Adobe bought it and continued it and only made it better, I was very pleased. But I've also heard from people who were Dreamweaver users for years and years swear by Dreamweaver, that they loved it. It's mm-hmm. so powerful, and you can do all this stuff with it. So when Adobe purchased Macromedia, mm-hmm. I knew one of those programs were going to go.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping in my selfish way that it would be Dreamweaver because I really like Go Live. However, it doesn't look like it's going to go that route. So, looks like when I receive my next copy of Adobe Creative Suite 3 next spring, I'll have to convert to Dreamweaver.
Yeehaw!
And the same thing goes with Illustrator and Freehand. Now, Freehand has been around a lot longer than Illustrator. Mm-hmm. There's some rich history with Freehand. I mean, that's one of the original vector drawing programs. I mean, yeah. Freehand is just... I don't know if it's as used today as much as it has been in the past, but back in the day, the two programs you had to have on your Macintosh, mm-hmm. or a PC for that matter, for a long time, was Freehand and Photoshop. One mm-hmm. from Macromedia, one from Adobe.
Yep.
And I'm not really surprised by the move that they're going to discontinue Freehand and keep Illustrator, because Illustrator's been... I mean, they're up to version 9 or 10 now, I forget. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very feature-rich... I did the review of Illustrator just a few months ago at right. mymac.com, and some of the new features they created for the CS2 suite really was eye-opener for me. I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's a great upgrade. So I'm not surprised that they're going to keep Illustrator and kill off Freehand, but although I do think that Freehand's a better name.
Yeah,
just the name Freehand. I mean, mm-hmm. that it makes sense.
Makes you feel like you've got a brush in your hand and you're...
It sounds yeah. more artistic than Illustrator. Yeah. Illustrator sounds more like a profession. That doesn't mm-hmm. sound like a program.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Dreamweaver is a much better name than Go Live.
Mm-hmm.
What is Go Live? It sounds like a video game, doesn't it? Go mm-hmm. Live. Or some service on the Nintendo Wii. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
The Nintendo gaming system.
Yeah, that's the next. It's going to come out this November.
Go Live online playing system.
Go Live entertainment system. But yeah, it's so I'm not really surprised by those moves. Apple also released an update to QuickTime. I believe it's 7.1.1 at this point. So check your software updater, and you will see a new version of QuickTime for you, all ready to go.
Yep.
On her blog, Amy
Ridenour.
Yep. Blasts Apple, the Annapolis Apple Store, with the following. And this is just the first part of her blog, but I'll let Chad read it and then we'll respond.
The Apple Computer Apple Store webpage says Apple is committed to providing assistance to its customers with special needs, but don't believe a word of it, at least not if you're short.
Sure.
That was the experience my soon to be 6-year old son had at the Annapolis Apple Store Saturday, prompting me to pop on the internet after the kids were tucked in to see if the way my son was treated is Apple policy, or if it is the employee who afflicted my son that was just a, upon alert, bad apple, a bad seed rotten to the core. In our case, my son, the apple of my eye, was all but told he was unwelcome to check out any of the laptops at the Annapolis location, not because he was misbehaving or no laptops were available, but because he is too short, he's small for his age, to see the top of the keyboard on the high tables the Apple Store uses. And the store clerk absolutely forbade him from using a stool, even an Apple stool placed on the floor of the store by the management for the use of customers.
If you want to read more about this, go to nationalcenter.org. This is just retarded.
Mm-hmm.
This lady is mad at Apple because her... I like how she put soon-to-be 6-year-old, mm-hmm. which means a 5-year-old little child
yep.
is grabbing a stool
mm-hmm.
to stand on so he can get towards the thousands of dollars worth of laptops that is intentionally kept out of reach of his little hands. And she's mad because the Apple employee said, I'm sorry, he can't use that stool.
Mm-hmm.
She's mad about that.
Right.
That's discrimination against short people. Short people get... But...
Well, isn't every 5-year-old a short person?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know.
Not to be offensive to people who are vertically challenged, but... a 5-year-old slamming on a keyboard... I would be a little reticent myself as a store employee, particularly if they're going to be standing on a stool.
Or even sitting on a stool.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a 5-year-old. She makes it sound like this. He should be totally... I'm dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. I've got kids. I've got a almost 3-year-old, and much older kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a 5-year-old having access to computers, especially laptops.
Yeah.
Why I don't understand this at all. I'm sorry, if you think it's wrong for a store to disallow your 5-year-old little child just out of his toddler stage, just learning how to tie a shoe with, I'm sure, the greatest balance in the world, because, you know, all 5-year-olds have just perfect balance.
Right.
They never fall over for no apparent reason. To sit on a stool, which I'm assuming is a pretty high stool.
Right.
And play with a $1,000 laptop.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand why the Apple Store employees disallowed that, then you're just stupid. To put it bluntly, you're stupid. Don't go into the Apple Store, because, quite honestly, you're too stupid to use the computer.
That's going
Your child may well be able to use the laptop. You should have bought him one. He's probably much more competent at it than you are. But to blast Apple or Apple's employees for disallowing a just out of his toddler stage 5-year-old from sitting on probably a 2 or 3 foot stool, which is probably taller than the kid is.
Right.
I mean, she said he's short for his age. Well, how short you got to be short for your age at 5 years old? What is he, 1'2"?
I have no idea. But let's go with the standard bar stool is what, 36, 38 inches?
Yeah, a couple feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they even allow a child that size to sit on a bar stool and play with a laptop computer? Mm-hmm. I mean, those tables are like waist high. They have computers set up for the little tykes to sit on the bean bags and to play.
Yeah.
They've got the Emacs and they've got the iMacs set up just perfect for them. Well, her 5-year-old wanted a laptop. 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
5-year-old don't need a laptop.
Yeah.
At least not one that's not created from Tyco or something. Or LeapFrog. Okay, get him a LeapFrog laptop. You don't get a 5-year-old and a MacBook. What are you, retarded? Come on. Stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 11-year-olds. I'm not going to give them a laptop. They can barely take care of the stupid Nintendo DS that they got without scratching the screen all up and dropping it half the time. I'm going to get them a $1,000 laptop? A $1,000 laptop for a 5-year-old. This woman's stupid.
Right.
Just dumb.
You're beside yourself.
I'm beside myself.
All right. With that, let's go to commercial.
Email, this is Apple Airport Express. You're cleared for wireless takeoff from the living room.
Internet, this is Apple Airport Express. You're cleared for landing in the kitchen.
iTunes, this is Apple Airport Express. You're coming in nice and easy on our wireless runway.
Apple Airport Express, from Small Dog Electronics. Wireless networking anywhere you are. Browse, email, print, even listen to music. Wireless. Go wireless now with a 12-inch iBook, Airport Express, and carry case for $11.49. Small Dog Electronics, in Waitsfield, and on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog is wireless.
If you are looking for some music that is going to put you in a terrific mood for summer driving or really any time listening, whether you're a child, a parent, a grandparent, a grandchild, there is an all ages CD that I can highly recommend, and it is called Philadelphia Chickens. It's written and created and produced by the artist and musician Sandra Boynton and her musical collaborator, Michael Ford. When I first heard this, I thought it was very corny and a bit juvenile. But the more that I listen to it, the more fun I have listening to it, and I can't get this darn music out of my head. You've got Snuggle Puppy, Be Like a Duck, Snoozers, Belly Button Song, The Dinosaur Blues, The Jump Rope Jive, Pig Island. Anyway, it's got a whole bunch of songs. You can go to sandraboynton.com or boyntonmusic.com. boyntonsongs.com. And you can listen to selections from all of these tracks. And I'm telling you, this is the gift that we are giving to everybody this summer. We know lots of people with young children and lots of people who feel like they are young children. And this is the most enjoyable music I have heard in a long time. We sing, we dance, we jump around the house, we tap our feet when we're in the car, we have it on the iPod, we have it on the stereo, and if you are looking for an all-ages gift or some wonderful music that will keep you in a terrific mood while you're listening. This review you can use that won't make you snooze, definitely. It will put you to sleep if you wanted to with the quiet songs, and it will definitely keep you awake with the loud and exciting songs. Some of the people on this record are the Bacon Brothers, Meryl Streep, yes, Meryl Streep, Kevin Kline, oh, a whole bunch of fantastic singers and musicians. I give this the highest 5 out of 5 rating for the Philadelphia Chickens by Sandra Boynton and Michael Ford. Yes, some of the music is available on the iTunes Music Store, but to tell you the truth, order the CD, or even better, get the book that has all the lyrics and all the pictures and the CD and the jewel case insert with it. It'll be the most fun listening to music you will have had for a long time. Thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast and reviews you can use that won't make you snooze. And let me know when you've got those Philadelphia Chickens, because I'd like to know what you think of it. John Nemo, signing off.
And this is just a reminder that the views expressed by some people are not the same as Chad or I.
not necessarily shared by the MyMac host or co-host. Just make sure you're listening to the right song when you're driving. The lullabies, no.
I'm glad you enjoy that, John, but what the hell? What the hell? Who the hell's going to go buy a CD of Meryl Streep? Come on! John's going to get mad about this. We're just rubbing you, John. I'm glad you enjoy it, but
we're already going to get skewered for the whole short thing that Tim just went over. So, we're going totally over the edge on this podcast.
Snuggle Puppy?
Snuggle Puppy.
What? It's Snuggle Puppy.
Pig Island.
I don't know. What the hell are you talking about?
It's all music off the CD.
Well, I know, but what the hell is Snuggle Puppy? It sounds like a dog food. Doesn't it? Snuggle Puppy?
Oh, it sounds like a little kid song.
Okay, we're going to look it up while we chat here. Snuggle Puppy, right?
Snuggle Puppy.
Holy crap, Chad, your browser window is filling the whole screen.
Well, you know, I have to have it really big.
I think I know what song this is.
You do,
because my daughter, the little one, has a music.
Yeah, book. Sandra Boynton, there it is, right there. Okay. B-O-Y-N-T-O-N.
And it's Amazon, so I bet they have a link to actually listen to it. Right online. So we're going to see what Snuggle Puppy sounds like. Yes, this is the book.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, that's a song. Snuggle Puppy, a love song.
Oh,
it's a book that I read my young daughter. And yeah. It's... I'm sure she likes it, but... music. Let's do a Snuggle Puppy music, and it's the same thing. Snuggle Puppy... This is it right here. I don't know if they will allow us to listen to it, and I don't see
a link
that
to listen.
They do.
No
link. I wanted to hear what it sounds like. All right. I just don't see a link. You know, if we had a contest this week, I would make it the first person to send me a link to find
Stop
it.
Stop it.
Oh, wait. Snuggle. Do you see Snuggle on here anywhere? Snuggle. Aha!
There we go.
They have a listen. Oh, this is at Sandra Boynton's website. Alright.
Well, yeah. I have a thing to tell you and it won't take long. The way I feel about you is a kind of a song.
I'm dumbfounded.
It starts with a
stop.
And ends with a kiss. And all along the middle it goes something like this. It goes,
ooh, snuggle puppy. Alright. I love what you do. Says it, little snuggle puppy, I love you. Look at, okay, I knew the
stop.
Words.
Stop.
Okay.
Looks like muskrat love.
So there you go. That was John's. I definitely didn't snooze through that review.
No, I didn't snooze either. Thank you, John.
Thanks, John. We do appreciate it.
Yes,
I know,
we do.
I know you're probably maybe taking offense to that a little bit. Don't be. You know Chad and you know me, and
If there wasn't the harassment, there wouldn't be love, John.
We love you, buddy. We do. We need to pick a winner, and we need to call that winner.
Yep.
And we're going to do that. You know, we can...
You got no juice?
My phone is just... I don't know how long it's going to last. I'm not confident in it. But let's take a... You know what? Before we pick the winner and we'll call them...
Dropping an InnoTech ad.
Yep, we can do that. And we also want to mention our other... Advertiser, sponsor, Ramjet. Ramjet.com. If you're looking for RAM on your computer, I don't care if you've got a Mac or a PC, just go up to Ramjet.com. I was talking about it last week. You could buy a new MacBook. If you put 2 gigs of RAM in it, it's an extra $500.
If you have Apple, do it. But if you want to do it yourself, you can get the same thing from Ramjet for...
$259. And you want to do it yourself. It's your computer. Learn about your computer. Don't be afraid to crack it open occasionally, you know?
Just make sure you follow the manual instructions.
Apple designed the MacBook for people, for customers, to install the RAM themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, almost all of Apple machines now has user-installed RAM.
Yep.
All of them. That's the one thing that Apple makes sure that everybody can do. Because why? Putting more RAM in your computer is one of the most important things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Most computers, if you buy it stock, doesn't have enough RAM. 512 megs is pretty good. Until you actually start using it quite a bit, and then you realize, you know what, I probably need some RAM.
Yep.
For $259, 2 gigs, max out that MacBook, you're going to be much happier. It's going to be faster, it's going to be more stable, you're going to be a lot happier.
Yep.
And it's really, honestly, Chad, I looked and I saw the video of how to install RAM on the MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Just do a look up at YouTube, just do a search for MacBook RAM, you'll find it. It's so simple. I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's also simple to install a hard drive, and Ramjet sells hard drives as well. So you might want to look at that while you're up at Ramjet picking up some RAM. And, of course, they have awesome prices on RAM for any Mac, not just the MacBook, but also, hey, an iBook. You got an older iBook. You want to keep it around for another year or so before you upgrade.
Yep.
You still want to put a little bit more extra RAM in there. It's a good place to go to get some. So we do appreciate Ramjet. I talked to them on the phone today. They're really, really great guys. It's a company that's worth supporting, so if you guys are looking to buy some more RAM, check out Ramjet.
If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? InnoTech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space of bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with InnoTech, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.innotech.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.inno-tech.com/mymac. InnoTech, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
You're listening to the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
We're going to take a little break.
Don't worry about it.
Come on!
Greetings all, I'm Guy Searle, and as you could probably tell from the new intro, this is the Dashboard Minute. I have a new audio setup, and I'm trying a few new things, so I ask that you be patient with me while I work out all the kinks. But I won't bore you with the details. Okay, all right, I'll tell you. For those that are interested, I now use an Alesis Multimix 8 USB mixer and a Shure SM57 microphone with a pop filter mask. I'm still using GarageBand for the final mix, though I use Soundtrack to record the Dashboard Minute intros. If you have ideas or suggestions on how I can make the Dashboard Minute sound better using this equipment, feel free to send me any hints or tricks that would help. As an audio newbie, I won't even pretend that I know what I'm doing.
Shit, are you kidding?
All right, on to the widgets. First one this week is a weird little decision maker for when your Magic 8-Ball is on the fritz. It's the Ask Dave widget, And it's from David Simber II, who apparently is a brilliant commentator on world events and popular culture.
Shit, are you kidding?
Or so he claims. Whatever, I won't argue with someone's karma.
No!
Anyway, the Ask Dave widget is incredibly easy to use. Just click on it anywhere, and the little cartoon man will shake his magic Etch-a-Sketch and give you precisely the answer you deserve for any question you may ask. Finely crafted verbiage like, "You're so hosed," or "whatever," or "like I care," and an absolute gem of an answer, 42. 42, of course, is the answer to life, the universe, and everything, and I'm pleased to see it making its dashboard widget debut. I looked around Dave's blog site called Blogography, that's BLOGOGRAPHY.com, but couldn't find it anywhere, so your best bet is Apple's dashboard site. No internet connectivity is required, which is just the way things should be when you need the answers to life's questions and you're stuck somewhere with no high-speed connection. Second widget up today was a total pain in the neck to configure, but once you were done, did some pretty cool things that you might be interested in, especially if you're trying to set up your Mac as a media center. It's the TV Tracker 2 widget, and it was made by Monkey Business Labs. And anything made by monkeys is probably going to be a good thing. Typically, I would agree, but let me tell you first how this thing works. Now, I have no intention of going into excruciatingly boring detail, but I suppose that's the way it'll sound before I'm done, so let's move on. First, download the widget and install it. Duh. When you fire it up the first time, the setup program for this widget begins as well. TV Tracker 2 guides you through, including giving you a certificate code required by Zap2it for the info from their database to be loaded into the widget. You must also fill out a questionnaire and create a login at Zap2it for all this to work. If you value your privacy and hate giving out any info about yourself, even as Innoculus is making yet another portal to the outside world on the net, you may as well skip all the rest and just go back to Tim and Chad. If you manage to make your way through the setup process, you have a very useful widget in your box. You can pick from what kind of TV access you have, broadcast, cable, or satellite, and select from a long list of what channels you want and which ones you want to skip. It will show you in 1 and 1.5 hour blocks what's coming on and even give you information on each show via a link provided in almost every channel. Very slick, and it was worth the time it took for me to fill out all the tedious info required to get it working correctly. Find the TV Tracker 2 widget from the Monkey Business Labs website, or just go to the Apple dashboard download site like I tell you every week to find this and many other fine additions to your dashboard dock. And yet, another dashboard minute is finished. If you have a favorite widget you would like me to talk about, send me email to dbminute@gmail.com. I appreciate your listening, and unless the Earth is destroyed by Vogons building a hyperspace bypass, I hope you'll do it again next time on the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
And we're back.
Is it time to call the winner?
I think it's, well, after that Dashboard Minute, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have monkeys here to help us call, but.
No, we're the only monkeys who can make this one work.
The up for grabs this week was Volume 9 and 10 of Slick Transitions and Effects from our buddies at G3.com.
Yep.
And what show was they on again? Was it 83? No, 82.
No, 80.
80? It didn't go that far, but yeah, I guess it was.
It was 80.
Four shows ago. Four score and... seriously, though, if you didn't listen to show 80, go listen to it. We talked to Bruce G. He's the president, yep. CEO, founder, Mac Daddy extraordinaire of mm-hmm. G3.com. He makes... Well, I don't know if he makes them all. I don't think he does himself. I he has a team and a company that does it. But I so enjoyed that talk with Bruce. And, you know, if you didn't listen to it, go listen to it. And you'll find out the kind of person that you're supporting by buying software from G3.com. Yep. That's one of the reasons I like doing these interviews with companies and individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It lets you know who these people are.
That's
right. You know, instead of just... it's a company that happens to make the software. There's real people behind him, and he had such a rich history at Apple I'm so glad that we talked to him.
Yep.
So he was kind enough to give us a copy of G3.com's Slick Transition NFX Volume 9 and 10, $120 value. Makes iMovie worthwhile.
Yep.
Who was our winner, Chad?
Our winner is Elisa Pacelli from Latham, New York.
I think I entered the number in right, so let's give him a call. Your Mac is kind of making a little bit of noise down there because it's getting hot.
Yeah.
Alyssa?
Elisa, I think.
Elisa. I think it's Elisa.
Hello?
Hi, is Elisa home?
Yes, hold on.
Oh, we're going to get one on the phone this time.
Hello?
Hey, Elisa?
Yeah?
This is Chad Perry from the MyMac.com podcast. Just calling to let you know. Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
You entered our... this is Tim, and you entered our contest.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, as you know, we call the winners, and we're also calling the losers to let them know. we did that on a podcast. It's not funny this time.
No.
I figured I lost. I thought the drawing was a few days ago.
Nope, it's the drawing was this morning, actually, and your name was selected.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
You're welcome. I take it you use iMovie often?
Yes, in fact, I was just showing my father some of the movies I made.
Well, you're going to make them even better now with Slick Transitions Volumes 9 and 10, $120 value. It's really cool software. I don't say that just because I happen to like the guy who runs the company or anything like that. It's really cool software. I use it myself.
Yeah.
So what do you do with iMovie the most?
Just, you know, take videos of the kids at their concerts, at playing soccer, that kind of thing.
Cool. That's exactly what it's made for. What kind of Mac are you using?
Right now I've got a G4 iBook.
Ah, are you thinking of upgrading it anytime soon?
This one I just bought last July.
So you're definitely not thinking of it.
Yeah.
Not at the moment, but we have four Macs at the house.
Oh, wow, really? So you're a Macintosh family.
Oh, absolutely.
And so is there any appeal to you when it comes to the fact that with the new Macs you can actually run Windows, or is that just a non-factor?
For me, it's a non-factor. I mean, we have, dare I say, two Windows computers in the house, but I would never put it on my Mac.
Good for you. Well, you are the winner. I have already forwarded your contact information over to G3.com. I told them not to contact you. They'll actually send you a link to download it direct to your computer, so enjoy
great,
the software.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, great. Every week I've been listening.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And you sound like such a normal person normally. Well, thanks. Make sure you download the podcast later tonight, and you'll hear yourself on there.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks Alyssa.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. We got to let her get back to her father.
Yeah. She's showing off her handiwork.
You know, it's so cool to do that. I do that with my parents come over. I show them stuff that I've done. Usually I've already got it burned to a DVD and I put it in the television. And my mother sometimes would come in, and you did this on the computer, right? And, of course, you know, back when iMovie was first released and I was doing that stuff, she was just blown away.
Right.
She almost takes it for granted that I did it on the computer nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh yeah, he did that on the computer. But as much as we may be used to using a program like iMovie to get really creative and really make some great home movies and even professional stuff, it's been a relatively short amount of time that we've been able to do this. I mean, you know, you go back just 5 years ago. Well, 5 years ago is about when it was starting.
Right.
So when you go back to when I started MyMac.com, even the ability to place an entire contents of a CD on my computer was just, wow, I could do that? I mean, I had like a 50 megabyte, I couldn't even put a whole CD on there. It was too big. Now, we have huge video files, external hard drives that can hold hours and hours and hours of raw footage
right.
in uncompressed format.
Mm-hmm.
and we manipulate it with easy-to-use programs that come free on most Macs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. You know what bothers me in a little bit, though?
What?
If you buy the top-of-the-line Power Mac, it doesn't come with iMovie, or it doesn't come with the iLife Suite.
Hmm.
They only give away the iLife Suite for the entry-level machines, the consumer machines.
Yeah.
Why don't they put those on the Pro machines? That would seem to make sense to me.
Unless they're figuring people that get the Pro machines are usually using something higher end to begin with.
But it doesn't cost them a dollar extra to put it on there.
I agree.
Okay, they sell it for $79.99.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But just put it on all the machines.
Yeah.
You know, just any machine that ships from Apple should just have the iLife Suite on there.
Yeah.
Obviously, people are going to get used to it. They're going to like it. So when a new version comes out, they're going to be more apt to purchase another copy for $80. Ooh, that's a loud dog bark.
Hang on, let me go see what she's doing.
Uh-oh. Chad's going to go beat his dog now. Chad, don't use the belt. It's just a poor dog. No, I'm just kidding. Chad would never beat his dog. That's pretty much going to be the show today. I'm going to keep it a little bit under an hour. We don't have an interview scheduled for next week, which is kind of a good thing. I don't want to do an interview every week, but the interviews are getting pretty popular. We're getting guests filling up the time slots left and right, but we like to leave a couple shows open. We just don't need to do an interview every single week.
No.
It's not the MyMac.com interview podcast.
No, but the interviews are great, and I enjoy doing them.
I do, too, and I'm looking forward to a few of the guests that we've got lined up, and maybe some returning guests coming up soon. And I really, really, really would like to get some more of the MyMac.com staffers and writers involved. We really do need to start scheduling some interviews with some of them. I would love to get Beth on the podcast, Beth Locke. She doesn't write for MyMac as often as she used to, but she's got such a wit, and I think the listeners would just absolutely love listening to her. John Martellaro is another one we need to get on the show in better audio quality. I mean, we were forced to use a cell phone last time, and it just doesn't sound as good.
Mm-hmm.
We really probably, Chad, need to start using Skype and Skype's call-out feature to phone people and try to record it that way. I think it may improve fidelity a little bit.
Yeah.
And at the very least, we can, you know, adjust the volume and clean up the sound a little bit in post production.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our show. No contest this week, so don't send any email.
Unless you just have a comment.
Yeah, and after today's show, you may just have some comments. And obviously, we welcome all comments, good, bad, or indifferent. We prefer you to send it on a telephone.
Yep, you can call our Skype number, 1-801-938-5559, and leave a comment there.
And because Chad's usually the safe one and doesn't say anything too bad about anybody, he's always trying to reel me in. If you want to send hate mail, send it to tim@mymac.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.